We're going to have some conversation shortly and around, obviously around your tables, and it's, I find it easier to have discussion around tables rather than to the backs of each other's heads. And so for those of you who perhaps haven't seen the newsletter or the documents in recent times, we're going to be talking about a what could be a challenging topic. It's something that is extremely important to all of us, I'm sure. But because of the disagreements over the Bible and throughout the history of the church, particularly, I suppose, in the last 500 or so years, I'm just wanting to acknowledge that, that it's a challenging thing to do, to acknowledge difference, but that it's something that for us in our world today is going to be more and more important for us to do. So we're going to be having a chat about that first question in the document that the elders sent out last year. There is a copy on each of the tables, but I thought I would just share some reflections again from Luke 10 this morning. So I'm going to start by reading. This is Luke 10, 25 to 28, which is just before the Good Samaritan passage, which is the passage I preached from a couple of weeks back. Luke 10, 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." So it wasn't really planned to spend this much time. This is the third time we've spent some time in Luke 10. We started at the beginning of the year with Lindy's reflection around being obedient to what God is telling us, or Jesus as he sends us out. What is the purse and what are the things that we use as comfort or as things to protect us as we go out into the mission field? She challenged us in that. And then I talked a little bit about the challenge of receiving hospitality from someone who you wouldn't want to receive it from someone who you actually have despised in the past, as the victim in the Good Samaritan story did. And as I was thinking about what we were going to do today and how to sit with some scripture this morning, I found myself returning to this lead-in into that Good Samaritan parable and that short exchange between the teacher of the law and Jesus himself. In his account of the story, Luke doesn't hesitate to highlight the conflicts between Jesus and the Pharisees and other religious leaders throughout the whole gospel. Whether it's after the healing of the paralyzed man who's let through the roof, and then Jesus saying his sins are forgiven, or a complaint that the disciples work on the Sabbath by getting themselves some food, or in fact the fact that he allows a sinful woman, quote-unquote, to anoint his feet in chapter 7. Among those and other things, it seems like the people who hold power are the ones who are threatened by Jesus' activity. They are not his biggest fans, which is no secret to us, and of course they eventually plot to have him killed. And this lead-in to the Good Samaritan passage that between Jesus and this teacher of the law, I think, is actually a wonderful example of engaging together despite being on different sides of an argument, perhaps. Luke somehow knows the motivation of this teacher of the law. He knows that he's going to trying to test Jesus and ask the question. And rather than answer straight out, as Jesus often didn't, he responds with two questions. First, he asks, "What is written in the law?" I wonder if the teacher of the law heard that question and felt a little smug, because this is my expertise, you know, this is my field, so I'm going to get him with this. It would be like asking a doctor what to do about a baby with a fever, for example. They clearly know what to do. This teacher of the law would have known what to say. But Jesus follows up that question with one that might have caught the teacher a little off guard, because it's a humble question. It's a question that gives him dignity. And when we stop to think about it, it's a question that says, "I'm here to engage with you, even though we don't see eye to eye." His second question, "How do you read it?" How do you read it? Jesus could have told him the answer. He could have run rings around him with his superior knowledge of the law, of course. He could have wiped the floor with this man who was arrogant enough to try to test him. But he didn't. He stopped. He saw the human in front of him. He valued him. He engaged. This is our Master. This is our Lord, our God, the one who has all authority over heaven and earth, the one who doesn't use his authority to force people into a particular view, the one who doesn't abuse that power, the one who sees our hearts and engages where we are at. I reckon that's a beautiful thing, but it's a challenging thing. And it's something that I think that we are all invited to do as well. As you, I'm sure, know, the elders I've mentioned already, the elders spent a day together last year praying, discussing scripture, and talking about where we are at as a church. We utilized some feedback from some of you who filled in a survey for us, and we decided that there were some more questions that we needed to engage with together, not just in the eldership group. And this is a way of us working out where to from here as a community. And that first question, perhaps the most complex one, which is listed on the document that you have in the table, it says, how do we demonstrate and confirm our reliance on Scripture as pointing us to the way, the truth, and the life in our risen Lord Jesus Christ? In the times that we have different ways of reading, interpreting, understanding, and applying the text, how do we affirm this as well and acknowledge that we need each other's perspectives in order to discern what the Spirit of Christ is saying to us? It's quite a mouthful, I'll give you that. But it's a complex question, one that could be fraught with difficulty because it's not one that is often acknowledged until there is a specific conflict. And then there are two sides vying to be right. But today we're coming to the question with no issue in mind, no question to answer, no ethical decision to make. We come to each other and ask, how do you read it? And of course we're not going to get to the bottom of that question today, nor the longer one that's in that page. But we do want to begin a conversation that is open and honest about the simple fact that many of us see this book differently to each other. There, of course, will be plenty of commonality as well. But when we come to the areas that we do disagree, how are we going to acknowledge that we need each other's perspectives? Even in the midst of that disagreement, even when we would perhaps prefer that that perspective wasn't even present. So to that end, we're going to spend some time in reflection and discussion this morning.